Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Friday, August 28th. We're back with you, and I'm ready for the weekend, Jen. Are you?
I sure am.
It's been a long week. It's at least it feels that way to me.
Felt that way to me, too, but not like a bad way. It was more just I was like, what day is it?
Yeah.
How is it not that day?
So with your calculations, today should be Saturday, right? Or Thursday?
How will you... Today would be Saturday.
Today would be Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so you get a 3-day weekend, you see?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I technically get a 3-day weekend anyway, because after this, that's it.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, so we have a 3-day weekend coming up, right?
No, I just mean that I'm done after this.
You're done with what?
Work.
Oh, okay.
Do you understand? I leave here and then it's the weekend. You get it?
No, I don't get it.
How do you not get it? It starts my weekend at 11 a.m.
Okay.
And then I have all day today, Saturday,
that's
and Sunday.
That's true. Okay. I'm slow, I guess.
Hi, listeners. Hope you're there. But yes, next weekend happens to also be a holiday weekend, which is why it is a long weekend.
That would be nice, yeah.
Right.
We could definitely use one.
Are you going to do anything for the long weekend?
Why do you always ask me that?
Because
you
I'm
put
hoping
me on the, spot,
the answer, you know, is going to be different.
Right. That's the thing. I never plan until the last minute, and then everything's booked. But I don't know. It's a good question. I should. In fact, I was thinking yesterday, maybe just take a drive or something up the coast, just to get away a little bit, see different things. You know, I'm tired of seeing the city every day in the concrete and all that. But so it's nice to get away. You know, we have a host here who lives on a ranch, and he was describing that to me, and I thought, wow, you know, what a great life, you know, to have animals and gardens and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
And then still you're able to come to the city and everything. So some people have the best of both worlds. I don't think I could live on a ranch, though, for an extended period of time. Because I've always been a city boy, you know. I'm used to all the conveniences and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's that. And, the good thing is I'm saving on gas because I'm barely driving Uber. I don't even think I'm going to do it anymore. I just, you know, I sort of got it out of my system. And I don't want to feel like, I feel like I'm a servant or something, you know. It's like, come on, you know. I mean, It's just not, you know, it was something I was doing for fun, and it was fine, but it's over. I mean, I haven't driven like a week. So I just figured, you know, it's not a priority for me now.
So the moment has passed.
The moment has passed for the most part.
Some listeners that I know have asked me actually why you did it, because you said you did it for fun.
Right.
So if not for the money...
Right.
And you did it for, what is fun about it?
The fun about it was, like, let's say sometimes I get home and I want to, I don't want to stay home for the evening, right? And it's 9:30. I just as soon just maybe drive for a couple hours. Sometimes on the weekend I would have some free time and I think, well, if I'm going to go drive around, maybe I'll just drive Uber, you know? So it was a great idea, but...
So you drive around the city for fun, regardless whether you're driving Uber or not. Like that's something that is
sometimes
fun
I would,
to you.
Yeah, sometimes I would do that. Like maybe take a ride for half an hour or something.
Got it.
Just to get out of the house at night.
So you figured if you drive around anyway, you might as well make money.
Right. Exactly. And meet some people and stuff. And it's been nice, but I haven't had any terrible experiences either. So, yeah, I mean, I finally had to ask myself, why am I really doing this, you know? I did get it out of my system. I saw what it's like, and moving on.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I am returning my dash cam, because I figured it's too much of a hassle to have to put it up all the time and connect the wires, and then you have a dangling wire and everything. And I thought, you know what, it's not worth it. I don't like anything in the car that's like out of place. Everything's got to be so neat, you know. You go into my car, it looks like you just took it out of the shop.
There's not mine. In there. My car hasn't been washed since like 1982. I wasn't even born.
Do you have a lot of stuff and garbage in
there? Yeah, because I'm always on the road. So it's not garbage. I don't like, I'm not a garbage person, but it's like my yoga mat and a pair of shoes and a random hat and then something somebody gave me that I never made it from the car to the house.
Well, that's good. I mean, some people throw like McDonald's bags and things like that
in
the car.
I don't eat McDonald's.
I know, but other trash and stuff, you know, like water bottles.
No.
I mean, I've seen the worst.
I don't do that.
You know?
That I don't do.
Yeah.
Especially because if you go to the grocery store and you have bags with you, like you can throw the garbage in one of those bags and take it in with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, even if I have like a dangling wire, that would drive me crazy. So,
the battery
doesn't work very long. So I figured, you know, it's not worth it.
All right. Yeah. So goodbye, dash cam. That was a quick life.
Yeah, but I'm crazy. I mean, I kept looking, and I found another one that's actually pretty cool. It like goes on your rear view mirror, and then it becomes your rear view mirror. So the nice thing, it's discreet, and you know nobody really sees the camera, so you don't have to take it on and off all the time. And but then you know, then I canceled it. I figured, you know, I don't really need it. Again, you know, I mean, gadgets, you know, gadgets, fun, you know. I mean, some things I don't necessarily, I'm not going to commit to it, but I try it, you know, like the horseback riding and all that stuff, you know.
Well, that's cool. I mean, you're supposed to have hobbies.
Yeah, at least I give it a try, you know, and then until you find something that catches on.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, and so are you going to go on any dates this weekend? I think that was going to be one of your new hobbies.
Right. Yeah, I might if it actually happens.
Sam,
I'm talking to a couple of women now.
Good, you should do the 1 a week rule like I am.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah,
yeah.
Force yourself to go on 1 a week.
Right.
You never know what'll happen.
And check it out, right?
Yeah.
And give people a chance. You know, right. I think I'm being too picky.
And then if you decide you like somebody, that one person could be the same one every week.
Yeah. Now, there's an idea.
I know.
But you first have to really want to see that person, and I'm not sure that I do. So that's why I have to think about it. But you're right. I mean, it's worth at least meeting them and, you know, and see if something's there. You never know based on pictures.
You never know.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, conversation's really the best way, I think, to tell.
Yeah.
If you're going to like somebody or not.
Right. But also, I mean, seeing them in person, you know, if there's any physical attraction.
Right.
Very important.
Would you say that's your most important thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, at least in the beginning. But I have learned that it's nice to be attracted, but what you have to live with is the personality.
So when you're looking at these girls' profiles on whatever app you're using, like what makes you want to reach out to them? Like what are some things you look for?
Well, you mean as far as the pictures or the context? Because I got to tell you, in some apps, they don't have any information whatsoever. It's just a picture. So I don't know. But I think also the things they... Well, you know, I mean, if they write, like, things that they like this particular woman I connected with, not this one, but another that I'm just talking to, she's into museums and culture, and she feels she's classy and stuff, and she seems that way.
She feels she's classy?
Yeah.
Did she?
That's what she wrote. She says, I'm classy.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Usually when someone says I'm classy, that might mean they're striving to be classy.
Probably.
Yikes.
I know, just like... I have a problem with people that name themselves like with their title on Facebook, like actress, blah, 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 author, blah, blah, blah. It's like, why are you defining yourself by what you do? I think you need to define yourself by who you are.
Well, doesn't it ask you to put in what your occupation is?
No, but this is part of their name. Like if your name on Facebook would be, you know, actress Jennifer Golden.
Oh, yeah, I don't know anybody like that. You need to not be friends with those people.
Yeah, I know. That's I don't know weird. How I even friended them, but they there's a lot of people like that. You know, they put a title like director, director blah, blah, blah or something. And that's part of their name. And I'm like, come on, man, this is so corny. You know, who cares if you're an actress and nobody knows you? And if you're a good actress, then you don't have to tell people who you are.
The only title I would want is like Dame Jennifer Golden.
Why?
Because that's cool.
Damn is cool.
Dame.
Oh, Dame.
God damn.
I'm sorry, Dame. I'm like, damn.
That is, yeah, that wouldn't would make any cool. sense, but no. yes. Yeah, so Ooh. Dame. I could live with that one.
Yeah. Do people have that title? I mean,
Dame like in Judi England? Dench.
That's true. But don't they have to
I
be
think,
like,
isn't it like Dame Helen Mirren?
But don't they have to receive that from the Queen or something?
Duh. That's why I want it.
Oh, okay.
Because how else would people get it? Like, you have to be super special for that.
Right. No, I mean, it could be that just people call you that, you know. But I guess it's like...
No, it's not like a miss.
Yeah.
Okay, so you read that woman's profile and she said she was classy and likes museums.
Right.
So, like, do you care if they have kids?
I do, but I realized at this age they all have kids. But they're grown, mostly.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, the ones that are not, you know, I don't know. I personally don't think I could deal very well with other people's kids. I mean, look, if we're just dating and fine, that's fine. But if we had to, if we decided to get married or something, or if we were thinking about it, this would be like a big thing for me, like, I don't know that I can do this. I mean, my ex-wife remarried. She lives. My kids live with her, my daughter now. But yeah, I don't know how this guy does it. You know, I mean, he accepted them as part of the family, and yeah, you know, he treats them nicely. So it's just, I don't know. That's just me. So. I mean, there are some people with grown kids that are not at home anymore. But if they had like a 16-year-old or something, which some do, I don't know. That's kind of weird for me.
Got it.
No. But so, yeah, I do look at that, but it's not like the number one thing. I'm also trying to think what else. I think I like when they're educated. I like when they they do serious work. You know, they're just not like depending on someone for money.
Okay.
Things like that. Or, you know, I mean, like if you're a housewife and that's fine, but do something, you know?
I mean, they're obviously not housewives because they're not married.
No, but, well.
Like a stay-at-home mom or whatever.
Okay, something like that maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not wives, okay. But they do the same thing. But I don't know.
People.
I like people when they have their own business or, yeah, if they're just educated, you know, like master's degrees or things like that, you know.
Got it.
Yeah. Because that's stimulating, you know. I mean, once you get over the looks, if the personality is good, then there's got to be some interesting stuff going on.
Yeah. Have you ever been on a date where you were like, wow, that might be my person?
I can't remember. I don't think so.
All right.
Yeah. When I was younger, I did.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I'd fall in love with these 15-year-olds all the time when I was 15. So, I mean, I liked cute girls. So sometimes I just fall in love with them, you know, or a crush.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Okay.
But, no, not in my later years. No crushes there.
Well, that's sad. You should get a crush. They're fun.
I know. But, you know, I mean, the women I married, I was very attracted to them. There's no question about it. But it wasn't something like, she's going to be my wife. You know, some people say that.
Yeah.
When they first meet someone.
I heard a story yesterday at a luncheon I went to, and she told me how she met her husband, and, like, they literally met and said to each other, like, okay, well, I'm done. Like, I'm
really?
Done looking. And then they got engaged a year later. They got married a year later after that. And now they've been together like 3 years or something. But she told me their proposal story. And it was just so cute. I cried. I cried.
Yeah.
Because that's wonderful. That's how it should be.
That's true. That's true.
That's what I think we should all strive for. People settle for a lot less, right. And I don't know what you're all doing.
But you have to realize that some people meet their soulmate or whatever you want to call it at different points in their lives.
100%.
Right? Just like some people succeed in business or
so does that mean whatever. We should settle for not our soulmate before that?
Yeah, until the right one comes along.
Aye, that's terrible.
Why?
Because it's like, okay, that's the grass is always greener theory.
No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is well, look, if you're good in that relationship, then that's what where you should be. All I'm saying is you shouldn't go years without a relationship because you haven't found your soulmate yet. So be dating, be in relationships.
I think date,
if
sure.
If you break up that relationship, then that's not the ideal one.
Right.
So maybe the right
I do feel like out. We generally know in our gut whether someone's right or not.
Yeah, in the beginning, Jen, but then people change, you know?
I don't know that they do.
Well, what's the longest you've been with someone?
2.5 years.
Okay.
He didn't change a single minute.
No, not once. In 2.5 years, no.
He did not change, but he didn't change.
But 10 years.
I knew he was wrong in the first place.
Yeah.
And I dated him because it was fun.
Yeah.
And it kept going. And because I was hoping that, like, things would get more serious and that we'd feel, you know, we'd be on the same page. And we never were. Right. And it never was a good relationship. And I think most people know, but they still hold on for dear life because they hope something will happen.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, and things rarely change when, you know, unless there's something significant happening, then the relationship is not going to change once it's gone in the... It's gone negative, you know, and there's fighting and shit all the time. I mean,
so what did you mean when you said people change?
People change in the way that they their outlook on things, let's say the way they feel about themselves and about you.
So you're saying they could start as somebody that might be your soulmate, you might think is your soulmate, but then something happens to them where then they're no longer part of the relationship.
Right, and or to you too. You know, it could happen to either one of them.
Right.
But I'm not saying it's something that would happen like immediately. It's something that would progress. You know, people become like, I don't know. Let me give you an example. Maybe, and that's not my example because politics was never important in my relationships. But some people are into that stuff. Let's say they both agree politically. Then they grow. One changes. They feel that they don't agree on anything. You know, maybe on the way you raise children, maybe people change their opinions. The other one isn't ready to change. The passion, or let's say the honeymoon period wears off, and then you start your life, the rut, the everyday routine, and it's not the same. You know, so. I mean, not that I wish it on people, but I've seen it too many times where marriages don't work anymore. You know, I look at my parents' marriage. They've been married 56 years. It's funny because I took my mom to the doctor yesterday and they asked her how long. And I'm thinking, that's a long time.
It is a long time. So
they've been through everything, but...
How do they make it work?
I don't know. I never asked them. But what I did see is they never really considered divorce an option. So to them, it's just like, you know, we married. My mom was 18, 19 when she got married. Yeah. She had me at 20, I think. 19, 20. Yeah, everything was very early back then. You know, people looked to get out of the house, especially, you know, teenage girls. And then once they were 18, man, let them get married. So that's what they did. But I mean, I've seen them go through some trials and tribulations. And I don't know if it's a good thing they stayed or not. I mean, you know, I don't know how happy or unhappy they've been. They've had their ups and downs. I know that. But they still care for each other. You can see that. You know, but maybe that's just because you get used to each other. It just becomes you're an item forever. You know. But... Maybe modern marriages are different now. You know, people realize, look, I don't have to live with this adversity in my relationship. Let me get out and try again, you know. And it seems to work. People sometimes, their second marriages are great.
Do you think, though, that people are more likely to rush into a marriage because they know they can get out?
I don't know. Well, it makes sense. It makes sense. But I don't think necessarily people think of divorce when they're getting married.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've seen some people go both ways, like with the, you know, early marriage, and then they are divorced already by the time they're now my age. Mm-hmm. And I'm 30. I haven't been married yet. But and then I know some people that are like in their 40s that are like, I would rather wait this long to find my person than to ever get divorced.
Yeah.
So,
which makes sense, but they could have been with someone without getting married. You know, I mean, living for many years without getting married, too.
Right. They could have been just in a relationship.
They don't have to be alone, exactly.
Well, I don't know that it's an issue of being alone. Mm. Is that what you think that is?
Yeah. Well, I thought that's what you meant. It's no. Like, okay, so you're
saying, I'm talking about marriage and divorce.
Right.
Not being alone or not being, or being with someone.
Okay. All right. I get you.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, I just think it's like, for me, I wouldn't want to go into a marriage thinking, well, if it doesn't work out, I can always get divorced.
That's true.
As an option. Like, while options are lovely and I appreciate them and freedom and the ability to make decisions, I would want to marry the person that's going to be the my family member for the rest of my life.
Right, but you can never know.
You can never know, but hopefully you know more.
So you're saying you just work on it and divorce won't be an option?
I would say I'm going to wait till I find the person that seems most appropriate for where I am in my life. Like, I'm 30. I'm sure when I was 22, the person that I wanted to marry was probably the cutest guy in town. Like, that wouldn't be somebody that would be a sustaining marriage. That right. would just be that guy that was really cute and who I thought was like, oh, okay, I like that guy because of that. But now I'm like, I want somebody that would be my family for the rest of my life.
Right.
So your priorities change, I think, the older you get and the more you know what you want.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you want the stability. There's no question about it, especially when you have a family. All I'm saying is you never know what's going to happen, you know? I mean, you might say, I'm never going to get divorced and I'm going to be committed to this relationship no matter what happens.
Right.
He could say the same thing too. And then a few years later, you guys decide, you know what? This is like, I don't know, God forbid, abusive or something.
Yeah.
You know? So, and it could be just verbal abuse. It doesn't have to be like, you know, and that's the problem with a lot of people, and I have like long stories about this, but the essence of this is people can really destroy other people with just verbal and emotional abuse.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be physical. It doesn't have to be violence, but it's something that can destroy people, you know. I mean, and yeah, I mean, I've seen some things, even in my parents' marriage, that weren't cool. But, I mean, there was never any violence or anything. But, you know, there are moments. But, yeah, I mean, my parents nevertheless stayed the same. And they're helping each other now. They're both sick, so they help each other and everything. And it works out, you know. So I'm not sure, you know. I don't know. I can tell you that I've seen people married for 30, 40 years, and then they get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, people have all kinds of different things that they deal with themselves, and then it affects the marriage.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know if I would wait until you were certain. I don't think there's ever a time when you can be certain. You know, I mean, some people find, I mean, look, they get married, they marry their high school sweetheart or something.
Yeah.
And that happens. And people are like, many of them do stay together. They're like soulmates from childhood.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's great. But that's what I think. I mean, while I don't necessarily agree with getting married that young, because I don't think you know yourself or the other person well enough, and you're not who you will be.
Well, I'm not saying get married young. I'm just saying to your high school sweetheart. So you could be married at 21, 22, haven't stayed in touch with them all this time.
I still think that's really young.
Yeah.
I think if you can only now just drink an alcoholic beverage legally, you probably haven't lived your life enough yet to know what you're even like when you do drink.
Right.
So, like, and not that that's like a priority, but like, it's a milestone in your life that will change you.
Right, but what if you feel the person you met is your soulmate?
You feel that. I don't know what you really know, though, at that age. Now, I'm 30. I feel wiser than I was then, and I felt like I was so wise then. I'm sure at 40 I'll know more, but to get married and commit your life to somebody at that point, I don't think makes much sense.
Yeah. You know, I mean, for many years, I think get married for love is a rather modern concept, you know, because, and we've talked about this, you know, how in the old days marriages would be arranged and people would just marry people that they knew in their neighborhood or, you know, whatever, but they, you know, they would stay committed. But you can still see in other cultures also where marriages are arranged because they're, your marriage is not just yours, it's the whole family.
Right.
You know, and that's how they connect families. I mean, it used to affect politics when a king would marry a princess from another country or something, and that happened in Europe quite a bit. So it would affect a lot of people. But I think getting married for love is pretty modern.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, love is a feeling. So how reliable is it? Not that I don't believe in it, because I've been in love plenty of times, but I think it's just an interesting concept all around.
It is. It is. I mean, there's nothing cooler than to fall in love, you know?
Right.
I mean, yeah. The actual beginning is the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's a little scary, but it's exciting.
Yeah, I know. You get butterflies in your tummy and stuff, but yeah. I don't know. I still, all I'm hoping is that at this age that there's still hope for falling in love like the way you did when you were
right
much younger, like in high school or
would college. You get married again?
I might, yeah. I you know, I mean, I think marriage is a good institution. I have no problem with that. You know, I mean, it sort of like firms up the relationship and or affirms it, and yeah, I wouldn't have a problem. In fact, I would even have kids if somebody was interested, because I love kids. You know, I don't care, but I just would.
You'd
be
have
an
a baby
old father.
Running around.
I would just be an old father when they grew up. I don't know that I'd want that. I wouldn't want to give them that. Though maybe there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, look, we just had what's his name, Billy Joel, just had a baby.
Yeah.
Right. So. I guess you get old, you die, the mother's still there, so who cares?
That's true, right? And they have the memories of you.
Yeah. And maybe a kid, I mean, maybe only at a certain point in their life they're going to feel, oh, my father's old or too old or something. But for the most part, kids accept their parents for whatever they are.
Also, these days, you can be 40 and act like a 30-year-old, and you can be 50 and act like a 40-year-old. So it's a lot different than it was back in the day when you know like your age could be just young. You just have to act young and feel young and have a young spirit,
right?
And you know, kind of like be hip, I guess, if that's the word.
No, that's true. I mean, I do feel young. It's just that you have to, I don't know, it's complicated. Aging is complicated, man. And the funny thing is, I was talking to a few people yesterday and we're talking about age. And they called me, they go, you're a baby. You know, they were in their 60s or something. And I thought, you know, I guess it's all relative. I used to be the youngest one in the room. Now often I'm the oldest one in the room. But sometimes you can still be the youngest in the room and be 55.
You never know.
So that's funny. Well, the CEO of Ashley Madison was let go after the hack.
Didn't they say he stepped down?
I don't think so. I think he was let go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would not keep a CEO there either. Although he was the founder, you see, and that's the funny part. His name is Noel Biderman, by the way, and he was the one that started this in 2002. But that's the funny thing about business. Just like when Steve Jobs was pushed out, the founders can actually be pushed out of a company. It doesn't matter, because once you make it public, and there are shares out there and other people own it, you're just another owner.
But how does him leaving fix anything?
It doesn't.
Right.
But except that, they're saying they plan to continue the website. I don't know how successfully they'll be, but I guess they're willing to try. I mean, you don't just, I guess, fold and go home when you have a business this large. But at the same time, that's what they were peddling is confidentiality, and people didn't get that anymore. Now they're talking about people suing, you know, when it destroyed their lives and stuff.
Well, it was confidential until the hackers came, but I mean, then they should sue the hackers probably.
Right, except who knows who they are. The company did post $500,000 reward, right, for anybody who could find them. I think eventually they'll find them because it's a big deal, and the FBI will probably be involved or something. I don't know if they do get involved in things like that, but yeah. So yeah, they're saying the company's working to restore itself and continue to offer its services to members. And I don't know.
If I were anybody trying to use that site, which I wouldn't be, but right. if I were, I wouldn't use that site anymore.
Right.
Because exactly. Hello.
Yeah.
I feel like it would just scare people from it, and then there would be no one on it.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
You know? Then your options are limited. Just go on Tinder.
Right. How many people are left there, you know, after all this?
I'm sure there's going to be an Ashley Madison app or something like that, where it's going to be an app that you can do very similar things to Tinder and all that, but it's like somehow anonymous and you can cheat. Mm. Where it's not public facing. Like, I mean, I saw my friend's boyfriend on Bumble and said something to her. And she's like, oh, no, he was using it for market research because the company he works for is going to invest in apps. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, why did he create an entire profile then? So, yeah, he was on there for himself, not for a business.
Mm, yeah.
But that's the thing. If you go on these things, people will see you.
Yeah. Wow. That's sad. That sucks. So did that do anything to the relationship?
They broke up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know if it's because of that, but I think it was probably just countless things and that was like the cherry on top.
Right, exactly.
Because also they had like had issues for years. That's the thing. I'm like, you know in your gut if something's wrong with someone. You can always tell if somebody's shady or if you can like, you can smell a cheater. You just can. Their behaviors always are consistent. So you either choose to look the other way and or like have hope that is like blind hope.
Yeah.
Or you're just an idiot.
Yeah.
Date somebody else. Like, you waste time.
Yeah.
I get it. We all want we hope we're like hopeless romantics. We all want people to be better than they are. I get it.
Yeah.
But they're not. And you can't make them better. They have to want to be better.
Right. Now, the question is, was he that one thing we can't know is if he was a cheater before he met her or if he just decided to start cheating after they've had problems.
I have no idea. But they started having problems from the very beginning. He was like non-committal. If you looked at this guy, you could tell he's just got some shade behind those eyes.
Really?
I think you can tell a lot about a person by their eyes. So, I mean, I do that all the time with people. Yeah. Like, I have a friend that just looks like so sweet, and you can tell because her eyes are so sweet. Then there's people that look like they've got nothing behind their eyes. And then there's people that look like they're incredibly shady. Like, they just look like slimy people. You can get a lot about a person from their pupils and their eyes, their irises.
Wow.
It's true.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
so you actually look that closer to the eyes.
Well, I try and look people in the eye when I talk to them or when I'm around them.
Right, you do.
You can tell a lot.
But I never examine their pupils and stuff, you know, their irises. You know, I just look at the eyes because that's where you look when you talk to someone.
Right.
You know?
Well, if you spend a little bit of time with them, you can garner a lot about their personality from their eyes.
Wow, very interesting.
If you look at dogs,
yeah,
that's a good test too. Start doing this with dogs. Look at their eyes.
Right.
You can tell a lot about a dog's like temperament by their eyes. Whether they're going to be a bad dog, a good dog, a sweet dog, a playful dog, whatever it is, like you can just tell.
Hmm.
I remember years ago, I started dating my ex-boyfriend. I walked into his house, and he lived with his brother at the time, and there was a dog in the house. The brother had a dog. And I was like, oh my God, this dog is so sad behind the eyes. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, no, he's got sad eyes. The dog is sad. And they're like, he's not sad. I'm like, he's so mopey. This dog is mopey. He fakes like that he's injured his foot just to get attention. The dog is sad. And so they finally were like, oh, man, he does have sad eyes. And then now the current dog is like dopey looking. He just looks like a dope. And he does the dumbest things. He walks right into tables.
Wow.
And then he'll like
Is he blind? I mean, maybe he's blind. Maybe he's got like
He's just a dummy. He's just dumb. He's sweet but dumb. But like, you can tell a lot about animals and people by their eyes.
Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
They actually say a lot about eye color. It will determine your personality.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll start paying attention. I mean, I often don't even remember eye color on people.
Oh, see, that's a trick women will do to you because they'll want to know if you're even paying attention.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Like, I mean, you see me every single day. I could ask you right now, what color are my eyes?
Yeah, you see? I think green.
Good job.
Gray?
Green.
Green, okay.
Good job, Sam.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you have to realize something. I see you kind of blurry because I don't have my glasses on. Yeah, I don't have them on when I'm looking at a computer because then it becomes blurry.
Fine, that's a fair excuse, but also color blindness. That's the only other excuse.
Right.
The other answer to that is just not paying attention.
Right, yeah.
And women want to know, the way to a woman's heart is to pay attention to her.
That's all we want.
That's all we want.
But I mean, but it should be complimenting to her when I'm looking at her eyes so I can connect with her on the conversational level and I'm not distracted by the eye color.
But if you're looking in them anyway, you would know.
But you have to make a note of it, you know, somehow in your mental note.
But if you also see somebody enough, you should know what their eye color is.
Right. Oh, if you see them enough, yeah. Yeah. I guess I didn't mean that. I meant
like a first
more people that you see maybe a couple times here and there or maybe once a week even or something like that, you know. I wouldn't necessarily
remember. I could tell you all my friends' eye colors.
Wow. That's pretty good. So you see, it's the stuff that people pay attention to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. What I don't understand is women that wear deep cleavage and then they complain that men look at their breasts. I mean, do you realize how distracting it is when women do that? And I think it's kind of cruel because either do that and accept that we're going to glance at it. Even, I mean, I've seen men do this. Sometimes I just observe people and I see that, I mean, even me, you know, you just kind of look without even noticing. It's like automatic.
Yeah.
So these are the things that men notice.
Yes, you know,
but I
they
mean,
do.
I mean, I'm sure they notice eye color as well.
Hopefully. But,
yeah. Yeah.
Moral of the story is we just want to be paid attention to.
Yeah. Which is nothing wrong with that, man. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
No, but we what women then have to understand is men only have a certain amount of bandwidth. And they're not us, so they're not going to do things the same way.
Right, exactly. And that's why we were talking about toys for boys and girls yesterday. And I just, because I kept thinking about it after the show. And I was thinking that I do feel that this politically correct move to take the gender out of toys is... what I'm saying is I doubt that this is a good thing because the thing is that, look, you were saying about like how we're fitting kids into a box. Is that you were kind of saying that, right? That we're making
more
boys,
nature versus nurture. I think that the labeling in general is a negative thing.
Why is it negative?
Because then somebody, like the day when we were talking to the therapist that deals with shyness.
Right.
When I was a child, I told you the story how like I would go into a room, and I'm an only child, so I didn't have siblings. So my parents would just take me places, and like I'd have to, you know, deal and survive. So I would just go with them, and I would be quiet to start, and then I would start to open up. And my mom would say to people when they would say, try and label me, like, oh, you're shy, or your daughter's shy. She'd be like, she's not shy, she's observing, and then she'll just, when she's comfortable, she'll talk.
Right.
It's not about being shy or not. It's just... give her a break. Like, she's going to start talking in a second. This is just her mode that she gets into. So had people called me shy all my life, I might not be on the radio today.
Right. But that's different. I mean, the thing is that shy, let's say, is maybe a relative thing. But being a boy or a girl is pretty absolute.
Yeah. Your gender is pretty absolute. I mean, granted, people are changing it because inside they feel like whatever the hell they feel like. They identify with the opposite sex, and I identify with a 6-foot-tall Victoria's Secret model. Like, that's just what we identify with.
Right.
So I just think that if that's the case, like, if I had three girls and a boy, let's say those are my kids, and the boy wants to play Barbies with his sisters, then I'm not going to say you must be gay because you're playing Barbies.
No, absolutely.
But, or that you shouldn't play Barbies because you're a boy.
Right. But what I'm saying is not to deny him, the boy or the girl, their identity. You know, I mean, because the thing is that I think, I mean, look, we have our genes, estrogen here, testosterone on this end, it makes us different, you know. I'm not saying that you should put kids into boxes, but what I'm saying is let a boy be a boy, let a girl be a girl.
I think they should be what they are, but we don't have to tell them what that is.
No, we don't have to.
But, well, if a toy but says for boys...
But it's worked for years.
It
for
has,
decades,
but also then we see a lot of identity crisis.
But not for the most part. I think maybe you have some. I would agree with you about transgender or gay or whatever, but these are the minority. You know, the majority of the people don't have these kind of problems.
But we can try it this way, and if that doesn't work too, we can change it back. So what I'm saying, though, is like with people with identity crisis, let's say, you know, I can only use myself as an example, but like let's say I was 18 years old and I'm not super girly, so then what am I? And then I'm like, wait a second, am I a lesbian? Am I a boy? Am
not
I not that?
Necessarily.
Do I like playing with dolls? Not particularly. Do I like playing with monster trucks? Also not really. But like, what about like another toy? Like, the toy that doesn't say it's for girls or boys. Maybe it's a little computer, and I'm like, yeah, that's my jam.
And that's the thing. A lot of toys are like that today. I mean, I think gender-specific toys are more for really young kids. You know, because once you grow up, they do show, like, similar interests, like video games and, you know, sports and things like that. But I think that if a girl is attracted to Barbies, let her play with the Barbies.
Absolutely,
you know?
But yeah. That's being attracted to it, not saying this is only for girls.
Right. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I mean, I think they separate it in the store, so it'll be easier to find. Not necessarily to separate the boys from the girls. You know, so
I mean, they'll probably be organized in the same way, but they won't say girls and boys. Mm. They will be probably a pink box and a blue box, right. But you can go to get whatever you want. It doesn't necessarily say girls' toys, boys' toys.
Right. Okay, but you did. We were talking about something like not all girls want to be in ruffles and girly and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. And I'll give you a great example is my daughter. I mean, we used to make her the girliest girl ever, and she's not girly now. She really isn't. I mean, at 25, she could say she's sort of like tomboyish sometimes and things like that. She's not into all that fancy dressing and stuff. She's into like pants and you know, and things like that. So, so I don't think we necessarily box the kids in. Eventually, they grow up to be whoever they are. But, you know, I mean, that's socializing. I mean, that's helping people find their identity by understanding the differences between them and things like that. But my biggest complaint really is not so much that. It's just that you have small groups of people that want to tell us what's socially good for everybody. And to me, it's unacceptable. I don't, you know, you're going to come here and change all the norm because it doesn't fit your lifestyle.
But also, is the norm normal anymore? It's the new normal. I appreciate tradition like everybody else, but at the same time, like I said yesterday, we're not walking around in loincloths anymore.
Right.
So things change. Right. So I think with that comes some of the social norms and some of the things. I mean, people don't pin each other anymore and say we're in a relationship. Like, that's just not something that happens. Now we have, like, Facebook, and you become in a relationship on Facebook. Things change.
Right. But those changes are usually gradual, and they take a long time, and it's not a conscious thing either, you know. It's not like one day they're going to say, look, we don't separate the boys from the girls anymore. You know, it happens over time and stuff, and attitudes and opinions in society take shape over a long time. So for someone to just come and say, hey, right now we're going to change everything that we've done and do things because I think that's the way it should be done.
Maybe that person felt like it took a long time for them to get here.
What do you mean?
Like maybe they think that making toys gender neutral took a long time. Mm. And now it's finally time. You're saying it's happening so quickly, but maybe other people see it as it should have been a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand.
Do you not like change?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I embrace change. I'm totally okay with it. I'm just not good with political correctness.
Well,
yeah. Not good with that.
Is it political, though?
It's politically correct thinking, at least. May not be political, but it's sort of like, this is the thing we should do. We get offended by the way the norms are, and we want to change them. I think that's what political correctness
is. I feel like if they framed it more in psychology and said, like, we shouldn't label our children, and we start from a very young age of telling you what you should be and who you should be, and then people grow up to feel like, oh, no, I should be this thing, and they have these weird pressures put on them by either their parents buying them certain things or what they think they have to have, then maybe that things will change. Maybe people will grow up happier and they won't have issues that they have.
Well, but maybe, you know, but that's the thing. I don't think these things are going to fix things because people have a million issues.
Well,
you know,
if we can alleviate just one.
But, you know, there's a lot of people that are not going to agree with that.
Maybe.
And that's the problem.
You know? I don't know that I think it's politically correct versus just not labeling. I think it's taking away labels that have these constructs that people...
But it's more than labels, though. It's the way you socialize the kid, you know. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't think we put them in boxes, but that's why it's important to have a mother and a father because you get two different perspectives, you know. And the thing is, I think a boy should be socialized to be a man, to take example from his father, obviously the positive things, and for a girl to follow her mom's lead. You know, I mean, that's our job, is to guide our kids. And maybe, maybe there'll be less sexual confusion if we show them how to be. And I don't think it's...
Confusion in what way?
In identity as a man, as a woman, you know.
But so you're saying that people are confused when they don't know what their gender is, or you're saying that
No, not when their gender, when they don't know what their role is in society, I think. In other words, a boy grows up, the man takes care of the family, he goes
out
to work.
Yeah, but that's an old role. There are single moms out there that are both mother and father.
No, absolutely. And there's fathers that do the same as well.
Right.
Right. But what I'm saying is that I think a boy, well, I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If a boy grows up too feminine, he might have a problem in society.
Or that's just who he is.
No, but okay, so then he finds out and he, you know, if he realizes...
This is like also nature versus nurture. Two gay men could have a boy son and that son could be more masculine than both of them put together.
Right. No, that's absolutely right. But the way they're born is a different thing from how we socialize them later on. You know, so
right,
what
nature versus nurture.
Right. So if someone's born gay, then, you know, you don't want to try to change that. But...
you can't make someone gay either.
Right, exactly.
But
that's
you're,
what I'm saying.
You know, you were saying the opposite.
No. I'm not saying you're going to make somebody gay. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I don't want men that like expect others to do for them. I think it's...
what does that have to do with toys?
What does it have to... No, what we're talking about nurturing, about how we raise the kids.
Right.
And their gender roles and so forth.
So you're saying...
So...
You don't want men who think they have to take... What? What was that statement? Yeah, I feel like we need to get off this topic.
Yeah, okay, let's get off. We beat it to death already.
And
but
it's
I think
going
we,
in circles.
Yeah, I think we understand each other, though. And that's
no.
No, we
but
don't
it's
understand
okay.
each other.
We don't
no,
have
I
to.
No, I understand your point. I'm just saying that I happen to think differently.
That's okay.
But we're good. Just before we leave, and we need to leave quickly, did you see the thing with Donald Trump and his hair, that he let that woman touch his hair?
No.
Yeah, he called her on the stage because I guess the New York Times wrote in their paper, in a column, that he had a toupee. So he says, I want you people to know once and for all, I don't have a toupee. So he called up this random woman from the audience, had her pull his hair, and... She said, no, it doesn't look like a toupee to me.
Well, that's really great. I'm glad they addressed that issue. That
I know.
Very important issue
very
in
important.
American politics.
I know that everybody had to make fun of it when they can't argue with his politics. They have to make fun of his hair.
Right. Well, I'm glad we can check that one issue off the list and we can remove that from the platform.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Sam.
Have a great weekend,
you
everyone.
Too.
And we'll see you Monday.
listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.